in just a second.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Welcome. Sorry about that. I am off today because it's Christmas Eve. And so sorry. I ended up losing track of time. So anyway, that's life is good. Sorry about the delay there. I hope the rerun wasn't too annoying during the time it took for me to come along. So I do have a bunch of news stories for you today, and I think they're all pretty sad, so you won't be disappointed. And tomorrow I've got some cool Christmas music for you. Well, sad Christmas music. Hello. Let's get going. We'll start the way we always start the show. Power up the blender.
World news.
Time for some world news. And greetings to Tobe, X1N, LocalBoxing.com. Jazmaz, of course, you're always around. And thanks for X1 for chiming in and saying, hey, while I was in Dreamland. That really helped remind me. I was like, oh, shoot. All right. So first up, in the world, this is kind of sad. The headline is, Mom, we need food. Thousands in South Sudan near famine. And then there's the cover photo is a woman crying. After nearly a week of hiding from conflict, Kaylin Kinnig watched two of her young children die. They cried and cried and said, Mom, we need food, she said, but she had nothing to give. Too frail to bury her 5 and 7-year-old after days without eating, she covered their bodies with grass and left them in the forest. Now the mourning 40-year-old awaits food aid, one of more than 30,000 people said to be in likely famine in South Sudan's Pibor County. The new finding by international food security experts means this could be the first part of the world in famine since one was declared in 2017 and another part of the country then deep in civil war. South Sudan is one of 4 countries with areas that could slip into famine. The United Nations is warned, along with Yemen, Burkina Faso, and northeastern Nigeria. So it's very, very, very sad. Indeed, famine is something that we have the phrase feast and famine in English. I'm not sure if it's everywhere, but a lot of the really strong words that we have in the language get used so much that they kind of lose their meaning. But famine is really just an awful, awful, slow death. It's a terrible way to kill a population. So, anyway, that's happening right now there. Central African Republic has some good news. The rebel groups have declared a ceasefire in a run-up to the elections. This is the place the UN was running over to yesterday, a rebel coalition that has been fighting the government in Central African Republic, says it will observe a unilateral ceasefire in the run-up to elections on Sunday. So this is good news. Hopefully the people can voice their opinion. And I loaded the front with some African news because it's just been on my mind. The Africa CDC warns a new virus variant appears to be emerging from Nigeria. Another new variant of the coronavirus appears to have emerged in Nigeria, Africa's top public health official said Thursday, but he added that further investigation was needed. The discovery could add to new alarm in the pandemic after similar variants were announced in Britain and South Africa, leading to the swift return of international travel restrictions and other measures during a major holiday season. It's a separate lineage from the UK and the South African, the head of the African Center for Disease Control and Prevention, John Nkengasong, told reporters. He said the Nigerian CDC and the African Center of Excellence for Genomics of Infectious Diseases would analyze more samples. So, very, very scary indeed. And over in Ethiopia, Ethiopian military kills 42 people involved in a deadly attack. Ethiopia's military has killed 42 armed men accused of taking part in a massacre in the western Benishagul Gumuz region, state-affiliated Fana TV reported on Thursday. On Wednesday, the country's Human Rights Commission said gunmen killed more than 100 people in a dawn attack at the village of Bikoji, Benishagul Gumuz. Fana TV, citing regional officials, reported that soldiers seized bows, arrows, and other weapons in the raid. Earlier on Thursday, Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said forces were deployed to the region, an area which has seen regular ethnic violence. If you're new to the show, or like Local Box, sorry, a lot of times this show we try and have fun, but it kind of feels bad, man, sometimes. But there's a lot of news that just doesn't, like, it's on these major websites. You know, it's on Al Jazeera, it's on Reuters, it's on The Guardian, it's on the AP, but it's like the 12th story down or the 20th story down, and it's some awful, terrible news that's going on. So I always try and highlight it. Sorry, it's kind of a downer, though, sometimes. We used to call it sad news to me for a while, because it was like 20, 30 minutes of death, and then I'd be like, okay, bye. But anyway, we just try and get it the news that you might not hear elsewhere. Keep trying, though. We'll try and get it to be a little... I'll try and lighten it up a little bit. But can't lighten it up until we talk about the 20 migrants who are dead off of Tunisia after a boat sink. About 20 African migrants were found dead Thursday after their smuggling boat sank in the Mediterranean Sea while trying to reach Europe, Tunisian authorities said. 5 survivors were rescued, and the Tunisian Navy is searching for up to 20 others still believed missing. So we'll see. Hopefully they can find some survivors. But it's not all doom and gloom. The farmers may be making some headway in India. Indian government again invites protesting farmers for talks. The agricultural ministry says it is committed to reaching a logical solution and invites farmers to set a date for further discussions. The Indian government's reached out again to tens of thousands of protesting farmers who've been parked at the borders of the capital of New Delhi for almost a month, braving a chilly winter to demand the repeal of 3 controversial farm laws. In a letter to the farmers' unions spearheading the protest, the agriculture ministry's top official on Thursday said the government was committed to reaching a logical solution to the issues they have raised and invited them for further discussions at a time and date of your choosing. So we'll see what's going on there. If you don't remember, India basically had a really strictly regulated farmers market where, like, they set the prices. The regional farmers could sell all their stuff was kind of set at this price, and you had local markets and everybody coming together. India kind of taking a look around, realizing there's lots of money. There have been some big international trade deals going on, and they basically made 3 laws that was going to allow prices to not be really regulated anymore in the way they sell it going on. So yeah, it basically would end the way of life for, you know, thousands and thousands of farmers who've been doing this lifestyle for, you know, probably 1,000 years. So or for several hundred years. So they're protesting, and so we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can win, but money makes a lot of noise. Money has a lot of power, and there's a lot of money to be made in India, so we'll see what happens. So let's lighten it up. Let's talk about COVID-19 some more, but let's not talk about death so much, just kind of an interesting thing, and workers' rights. This comes to us from our friends at the World Socialist website. That's Whiskey Sierra, whiskeysierra.org, WSWS.org. Rubber glove factories become COVID-19 epicenters in Malaysia. Workers are fighting the world's largest medical glove manufacturer, Top Glove, over unsanitary working conditions that have led to the largest active coronavirus hotspots in Malaysia. Damning exposures by workers have revealed sweltering in unsafe conditions with lack of protections, no social distancing, and packed dormitories. According to statistics from Malaysia's Ministry of Health, 5,700 of Top Glove's 11,215 employees at just one of its manufacturing centers have tested positive for coronavirus since November. For a number of days, the company's 21,000 employees accounted for over half of Malaysia's new cases. The company was forced to submit to staggered shutdowns of its factories, largely in the Meru region. Responsible for 60% of the world's disposable gloves, the company reported on December 16th that it had tested 10,000 employees, of whom 93% had recovered, but declined to specify how many had tested positive. It also announced the reopening of its factories despite days earlier confirming its first COVID-19 death. So, no condolences or information were passed on to his family in Western Nepal for their most recent death. So, this is kind of spooky. If they're 60% of the gloves, and so your sanitary gloves are being made, your doctor's gloves are being made in a giant COVID den, that's kind of a sad time. That's kind of weird. Yeah. So, hopefully condoms are still okay. Good call, X1. Alright, so, if you didn't know, the short version is that Brexit and the EU and Britain, or the UK, kind of came to a deal. They made a deal. Details of the deal are forthcoming, but basically they've got an arrangement, so at least they're not going to have to come up with a new, brand new deal, like a hard Brexit, right? Spain is still working with them to negotiate a deal, what's going on with the border to Gibraltar. And just a short version here, the UK government's Office for Budget Responsibility forecasts that with the deal, Britain would see a loss of output of around 4% over 15 years. That presumes a hard Brexit of the kind now agreed, a sharp rupture compared with previous divorce proposals, and not much better in economic terms than a no deal, which the OBR said would have led to a further reduction in output of 2% initially and 1.5% through 2025. A no deal is painful because it hits like a tsunami immediately, economist John Van Rienen wrote in a London School of Economics blog. A hard Brexit deal is stealthier, domestically abusing the economy over decades. So EU economies will also be hit, though to a lesser degree, even if some, such as Ireland and Belgium, suffer more than others. Sorry, Belgium. And Ireland. Hilke van de Bush, a professor at Belgium's University of Leuven, forecast last year that a Brexit with a free trade agreement would imply a loss of 0.38% for the combined economy of the EU and a loss of around 280,000 jobs. So we'll see what's going on. It'll be an adventure. Greetings, plebe. And, oh, Tobe yanked him in. Heck yeah. Well, we've got just about 5 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So, let's see. I'll just talk through it. Because we got lots of cool stuff going on. And Ireland. all right. So, boom. Check it out. That popcorn.
It's time for tech news.
It's time for tech news. That's right. Lots of cool science stuff going on. First, Japan. Japan's spacecraft's gifts. That's right. They resemble small fragments of charcoal, but the soil samples collected from an asteroid and returned to Earth by a Japanese spacecraft were hardly disappointing. These samples, Japanese space officials described Thursday are as big as 1 centimeter and rock hard, not breaking when picked up or poured into another container. Smaller, black, sandy granules the spacecraft collected and returned separately were described last week. The Hayabusa 2 spacecraft got these two sets of samples last year from two locations on the asteroid, Ryugu, more than 300 million kilometers, or 190 million miles from Earth. It dropped them from space onto a target in the outback, and the samples were brought to Japan in early December. So it's very exciting. We've got just a couple more minutes. We gotta hurry! Deepfakes in the news. Channel 4 has sparked controversy and debate with a deepfake video of the Queen as an alternative to her traditional festive broadcast to be aired on Christmas Day. The broadcaster will show a 5-minute video in which a digitally altered version of the Queen shares her reflections on the year, including the departure of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle as senior royals and the Duke of York's involvement with the disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. The deepfake queen, voiced by the actor Deborah Stevenson, can also be seen performing a dance routine for social media platform TikTok. I love it. Channel 4 said the broadcast was intended to give a stark warning about the threat of fake news in the digital era, with its director of programs, Ian Katz, describing the video as a powerful reminder that we can no longer trust our own eyes. So, very interesting. Check that out on Channel 4 if you can. All right. And this is cool. yeah, deep fake queen. Nuro is set to be California's first driverless delivery service. This is really cool. Robotics startup Nuro plans to start its driverless delivery operations as early as next year. It previously tested its R2 vehicles in the state in April, but the permit will let it charge people for its service. The firm's vehicles will be limited to 35 miles per hour and will be restricted to operating in fair weather conditions. Issuing the first deployment permit is a significant milestone in the evolution of autonomous vehicles in California. We will continue to keep the safety of motoring public in mind as the technology develops. Nuro was founded by two former Google engineers and has funding from Japanese firm SoftBank. So, be pretty neat there. And dozens of people are suing Amazon's Ring camera, Ring, after camera hack leads to threats and racial slurs. What do you say? Dozens of people who say they were subjected to death threats, racial slurs, and blackmail after their in-home Ring smart cameras were hacked are suing the company over horrific invasions of privacy. Well, that's about the end of all we got. So thanks for tuning in. Sorry I ran out late. I'll be back tomorrow, though. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh man, my timer was so off. I got a whole minute. Come on. Anyway, I'm going to talk for a minute because there's one other story that I thought was just wacky. It's sad though. A 37-year-old man who allegedly used an oxygen tank to beat to death a fellow COVID patient in his California hospital bed last week has been charged with murder. Jesse Martinez became upset when the 82-year-old man sharing his hospital room started praying. Mr. Martinez then allegedly grabbed an oxygen tank and bludgeoned the elderly patient. The pair, who police say did not know each other, were receiving treatment for coronavirus in a two-person room in Antelope Valley Hospital in Lancaster, Southern California. The suspect became upset when the victim started to pray. He then struck the victim with an oxygen tank. So, wow. Pretty wild, right? Howdy, plebe. Yeah, comms a bit stressful sometimes. The biggest thing is press space, then type, and then, if you don't see any text coming along, hit enter. You might have accidentally entered chat mode. That's my tip, anyway.